This week on the Time Bat Show.
I wonder how steady your hands would have to be a doctor. Like, I don't have steady hands at all.
No, like, I would be
terrible. Like, to be like, all right, we need to pull this out of your whatever eye socket.
Whoops.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 25. I'm Time Asus.
And I am Bat Snacks.
And this is our 25th episode. We're a quarter of the way to 100 episodes. Yes. Can you believe we made it this far?
I was just saying before the show started that I think 33 will be a much more momentous occasion than 25.
Than 25? Yes. But 25 is like what everyone celebrates, like 25th anniversary, you know, of something, you know.
Well, they should celebrate 33.
No one celebrates 33.
Because a third of the way through 33, you're a third of the way
to 100.
And that's sure. Much more momentous than 25. People should do 33 and 66. As opposed to 25.
I get your logic. But what people actually do is like 20th. They do 10th, 20th, 25. 30th, and then they'll do like 50th. They'll do like the 10s after that, basically, you know.
After 30th, it's just not as special. You just have to just wait till 50.
It dies. The magic dies. And then you wait till 50, yeah, and then you have a 50th. So, I mean, this is a big milestone, I feel like, for us.
You know? It is.
We hit 25. We still have no listeners. No. We have some. No. But we still are doing it. We haven't got bored of it yet. It's a good indication. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's a good indication.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just dive right in. Anything you want to bring up before we get to talking about the points I have on the agenda today? As if we have an agenda regularly on this show.
I don't really have anything going on. Hasn't been a really busy week for me. How about you? Anything
well, I going got on a, I got the world? Nintendo Switch last Friday, nice. As I told everyone I would last episode. I camped it outside at Best Buy for it. I mean, I already had pre-ordered, but they still lined you up like in this big like line in the cold, you know.
Yeah.
And there's probably like 100 people there, and maybe more than 100. And then they like. Slowly came and walked one by one and like pointed at people and like, you'll get one, you'll get one, you'll get one, you're not gonna get one, you're not gonna, you know what I mean? So
even if you pre-ordered it, they could still cut
no,
you off?
No. If you pre-ordered it, you're good. But they put the people that pre-ordered and the people that were just waiting to get lucky, they were in this exact same line.
Okay, that makes sense.
So like, where I was in line was interesting because like, the person right in front of me was the last person that didn't pre-order it that was going to get it. So, like, if I had not pre-ordered it, I would not have gotten it. But I did, so it's fine. But, yeah, that was kind of a Best Buy adventure. But I made friends with some man that plays Magic the Gathering. I didn't really make friends with him, but he was like, do I recognize you somewhere? And I was like, I don't know. I live here, so I mean, I like drive around and stuff. And he's like, I know, I've seen you somewhere. And I was like, okay. I mean, I do things sometimes. He's like, do you play Magic? And I was like, yeah, but I haven't played in a while. And he's like, that's it. That's what I've seen.
That's what I've seen. You're at all the tournaments.
And I was like, okay, I didn't want to explain, like, no, you probably don't know me from that, but, like, I didn't want to, like, I don't know. He was in the groove, so I just let him believe that, you know what I mean? And I used to play Magic, but I don't anymore, so I didn't want to explain, like, oh, actually, I do play Magic, but not anymore, so you wouldn't have seen me there, but I do, I'm nice to meet a fellow Magic player, you know? Like, that's a little too much for line at Best Buy chit-chat. But anyway, so I got the Switch, and I like it a lot. It's really cool. And the new Zelda, which is also for the Switch, Breath of the Wild, which I know you were interested in, but it's super, super good. I've been playing it, you know, as much as I possibly can. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard as much that it is extremely good.
It's really, really, really good. It's hard to describe, like, similar to other games, because it's very different than other games. But I guess the, like, easiest comparison I can make is, like, it's an open world game, and, like, the world is massive, and you can go wherever you want, you know? Mm-hmm. So I guess it's similar in that vein of, like, a Bethesda game, where you just have a really open map, and you can basically go wherever you want, whenever you want, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's not as RPG, it's not really RPG heavy like Bethesda games. Like, there aren't any, like, conversation trees or, like, stats or anything. You know what I mean? It's much more like action adventure kind of game, but with that open world. You know what I mean?
That sounds really cool.
Thing. So, like, imagine, like, a regular Zelda kind of action adventure exploratory kind of thing, but then in an open world game. Yeah, it's really cool. It's fun. And there's a bunch of cool game systems that, like, they have, like, a really cool physics system that lets you, like, manipulate the world, like, in really neat ways. When it rains, like, it puts out fires, and you can, like, grass on fire, and you can, like, blow fire into, like, trees and stuff with, like, wind. And when fire is, like, consuming grass, it creates an updraft, which lets you, like, propel yourself up if you have, like, a paraglider thing, and, like,
that's super,
like, there's so many, like, cool systems that you can, like, mess around with, and you get, like, a magnet rune that lets you, like, manipulate metal objects and stuff. So it's just, like, fun, goofy, like, physics puzzles. Like, there's a lot of, like, puzzle solving and physics messing around in, like, an open world environment. So it's, like, a big open world sandbox, you know. And but it's still very much Zelda, you know, that kind of... Zelda's not really an RPG, but it's kind of like that light... It's similar in scope to an RPG, like, it's that kind of light RPG. Like, there are still characters, and, like, there's a quest and stuff, but, like, there aren't, like, stats or anything. It's just kind of like, you know... Most of what you get in this game is, like, oh, you get better equipment, but, like, you don't, like...
Yeah.
You don't level up or anything.
You have unlocked new mechanics with which to interact with your environment.
Yeah,
with.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You don't, like, level up or anything, though. But it's super good. It's, like, really, really fun. It's hard to put down. And it's one of those games where, like... A good example, again, is, like, Bethesda. Like, you'll go in onto a quest, or, like, you'll have this area you want to explore, and then you'll get sidetracked, like, 8 million times on the way there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that happens to me all the time. Like, every day I play, I'm like, all right, I gotta go here to do this, and then I'll, like, get there, and then I'll be like, all right, I'm done with that, now I have to get back to the main quest, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's, like, 8 things around here that I want to check out first, and, like, the first one I check out leads me to, like, 8 other things that I want to check out first, so, you know, it's nice. One of those games, but it's really good. So I would recommend it if you have the opportunity to get a Switch or something.
How do you like the hardware so far?
The Switch
I've heard there's issues with a couple things.
I've had almost no issues with mine.
That's good.
But
to
that's
hear.
Just, you know, I don't know if, you know, take that however you will, but I've had zero issues with mine. The hardware itself, like, I like it a lot. It doesn't really launch with a lot of, like, like, you know, you get, like, a PS4 or Xbox that comes with, like, Netflix and, like, all these apps and shit. Like,
yeah.
The Switch is just, like, it's basically a game console that you can play as a game, like, as a portable or on your TV. Like, it doesn't really have anything else. At present, I think they're going to put more stuff in it in the future, but that's really all it is. It's just a game console that does both of those things. But as the hardware itself, it's, like, really good for me anyway. Like, you can basically... I play mostly on my TV, but sometimes, like, my wife wants to watch, like, a movie or something on Netflix, and you just take the unit out of the dock, and then you just play on the handheld. You don't have to turn it off or anything. It just picks up right where you left off at the, you know, at the handheld.
When you're playing on your TV, are you using the Joy-Con or the Pro Controller?
So, I originally had the Joy-Con, and then I got the Pro Controller just because I wanted an extra controller. So the first couple days of playing Zelda, I only played with the Joy-Con, and they bring you, like, you can kind of hold it like a Wii nunchuck and you know, Wii mode if you want, but they give you, like, a controller base. You've seen the thing. You, like, slide it on, so it becomes, like, a controller. And it feels generally okay. I have really big hands, so the buttons are a little small for me, but, like, I didn't really have any complaints. Like, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't, like, great. It wasn't like the best controller ever or anything. But that being said, like the Pro controller is like really, really good. Like it's a really comfortable controller.
Nice.
So like I would say if you get a Switch, probably get a Pro controller, but it's not going to like ruin it or anything playing with the Joy-Cons, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about them is like out of the box it has two, like mini, basically mini NES controllers, you know, right out of the box.
Yeah.
So
Have they announced virtual consoles for it yet?
They say they're going to do it, but they just don't, they haven't announced when yet. You know what I mean? So like yeah. It's coming, just nobody knows when. So hopefully soon. I mean, the Wii U all have virtual consoles. They've said they're going to do it on Switch. We just don't know when yet. So it's like, that's the big thing. Like, I know you're, and everyone's interested in that. And like, they're going to do it. It's just a matter of time.
That would be an interesting feature.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. But I don't know. Hopefully soon. Hopefully sooner than later. They have a lot more titles releasing in summer. So I'm kind of thinking that maybe they'll kind of ramp up all that stuff at the same time to kind of entice like the second wave of buyers, if you will. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway. But yeah, if you like Zelda and you like those kinds of styles of games, like it's super good. As for like a couple people have asked me like, is it worth waiting for? It's like, yeah, I mean, you'll get more on the day of you buy it if you wait, but like, do you want to wait on playing Zelda? It's your call. Like, I don't know. It's super good.
If you're going to get it anyway, I mean, you could play Zelda now.
Exactly. Or you can play it in 6 months. Like, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you, really. It's one of those games where, like, some games I just don't play for, like, a year or two after they're released. It's one of those games that, like, I want to play it now because I want to be able to talk about it with people that have played it now, because it's that one of those kinds of games. Like when Dark Souls came out, I didn't play it at launch, and that's kind of like sad for me because it was so cool to, like, you know, the other games in the series 2 and 3 and Bloodborne were so interesting to talk to people about while everyone was playing it, that it's, you know, it's kind of like a missed opportunity to not play it like soon after it releases, you know what I mean?
Yes. But
Zelda's kind of a similar way, because there's all these discoveries happening right now, and the world's so big that everyone's discovering something new pretty much every day. But anyway, enough about the Switch. I give Zelda my two thumbs up. I'm like Robert Ebert now, or whatever his name is. Siskel and Ebert, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm Ebert, and you're Siskel.
That sounds good. I don't know who those people are.
You know, the movie people, like, we give this two thumbs up or whatever. You know what I mean?
I don't know who those people are.
It's from, like, the 90s. I think they're both dead now, so.
That's sad. That's good. I'm sorry they're dead.
It's depressing. Okay, do you want to get into a weird news story real quick here?
Do you have one? I don't have one prepared.
I have one, yeah, I do. It's not nice. Super good, but it's one. Where was this? Oh, the Cayman Islands, which is in the Bahamas somewhere. I don't really know. I don't know. Somewhere in the Bahamas.
Okay.
A dive instructor saved a shark that had a large knife wedged into its head. So this, like, looks
so
like
he,
a...
Like, he pulled the knife out of the shark's head?
Yeah, he saved it. Yeah, the shark, like, swam over to him. And he pulls the knife out.
He's like, hey, buddy, can you
help me with this thing?
I got a bit of a situation.
Got a bit of a thing
here.
Going on here. Wow, they have it on video of him pulling the knife out of the shark.
Ooh.
Okay, they say he saved the shark, but he could have just killed it.
Yeah, he could have, like, stabbed the shark and then been like, okay, I'm going to have a hero moment real quick.
Sure,
everybody get your,
like,
cameras ready.
Here's the other thing, like, with knife wounds, like, sometimes if you, like, pull the knife out, you'll bleed more.
Yeah.
So he could have just murdered the shark. Like, the knife could have been the thing that was, like, holding keeping everything in there, you know?
I've seen those episodes of, like, House MD or something where people show up to the hospital and they've got, like, rebar, like, going through them.
And they're like, we can't pull this out. Your intestines are being held in by the rebar or something.
Yes.
I don't know how accurate that is, though.
I believed it when I heard it.
The rebar story. or that's, like, in their, like, eye or something.
Yeah, it's like, Or they're like pinned. I've seen this in a movie. I don't remember what movie, but there's like a lady pinned against a tree by a truck. The truck backs up.
Signs. Yeah, that's Signs.
Yeah, Signs.
Wow, that's like our second Signs reference in like a few episodes. Yeah, she's like, what?
I had no memory that was from Signs, but yeah, the lady.
Yeah, the wife of Mel Gibson's character. She's like pinned against the truck, and if they back it up, she just like will die because it's the only thing keeping her intestines in or something. I don't know how real that is. It kind of sounds real. Like it sounds like something that could happen, right? Kind of.
I'm sure they hired. They asked like an RN, like, hey, is this plausible?
They asked like a dermatologist buddy they had, yeah. And he's like, yeah, that's the thing that could happen. Like they're optometrists. They're like, yep, we went to med school. That's definitely a thing. It's called truckin' tree syndrome. there's a medical name for it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not like the man would just leave the knife in the shark's head. I mean, the shark's going to die either way. You might as well
videotape it and post it to Twitter and get people to be like, what a hero. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I watch those like ER shows sometimes, like the real life ones, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes same. I'm guilty of that.
Like, yeah, the ones on like, ones they had like marathon on like Sunday, like the entire Sunday is just all
Lifetime original.
Yeah, series, yeah, they're just ER like show. All there. But sometimes people have like the weird, like there's like a, oh, he got like a giant like. Railroad nail in his head or something, and it's yeah, like somehow. Right next to it's like his like optical lobe. Is that a thing? I don't know.
The eye.
Yeah, nerve. And if it was like a half a millimeter closer, he would like be dead or something like that. Right?
Yeah, I think that happens.
And so they're like, if we take it out, we might hit the nerve, and you'll just die instantly or something. But then they do it anyway, and somehow they like succeed.
Yeah.
You would have
to. I mean, they never die during those procedures in the movies, do they? It's always, hey, you got a 5% chance to live.
Yeah, and then they're like, okay. Unless that character's intended to be dying. Yeah. Which in case, like, it's at the very beginning of the movie, so you know it's going to happen.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't, they wouldn't even say it's a 5% chance. Because once you give the expectation.
That's true.
Once there's hope, you can't, like, let people down in a movie.
Well, you can, but then you're kind of a bad, not a bad movie, but, like, you're disappointed. Yeah,
you're no longer daytime television.
Yeah, that's true.
If you do it.
I wonder how steady your hands would have to be a doctor. Like, I don't have steady hands at all.
No, like, I would be
terrible. Like, be like, all right, we need to pull this out of your whatever eye socket.
Whoops.
I know, like, whoops. I just scratched your eyeball, and now you're not going to be able to see anymore.
I mean, just think about the pressure of being a surgeon. Like,
I know.
I have bad days at work sometimes.
No, like, I make mistakes.
Like, sometimes I'm at work, and nothing that I do turns out right. Like,
for me, I don't know about you, but, like, if I make one mistake, the likelihood of me making more is, like, exponentially, like, greater every time. So it just kind of, like, snowballs, and then by the end of the day, it's just, like, all the mistakes are just there in front of me, you know?
Yes.
As a surgeon, I feel like with like a heart bypass, like accidentally cut a little close, and then be like, "Whoops!" and then like accidentally tie it off wrong. Like, yeah. There's all these like follow up steps. Like, okay, it's fine. You cut a little close, but we can fix that if you just tie this up, and then you like tie it wrong, and then they're like, "Well, that's fine, but we can fix that if you put this incision right here," and then you like incision the wrong thing, and you're just like, "Whoops! Whoops! Whoops! Whoops!" And then, yeah, then you get sued for medical malpractice or whatever, right?
And your practice gets shut down. It's rough being a surgeon.
It is.
Or if, I don't know, if you're doing something simple like holding a tray and then you just drop the tray and all the tools go in the man that you're operating on.
What like, do you do then? Do you, like, fish him out?
One by one.
Like, hold on, let me stick my hand in there. Gotta grab my surgeon knife or something. My pliers or whatever, right?
I've heard stories about people that have to go back to get re-surgery or whatever it's called when the doctor will leave, like, gauze in their lung or
something. I've heard of that, too, but I don't know how common that is, you know?
That's probably the doctor equivalent of just having
a really bad day.
Yeah.
Whoops, I did a little too much.
I left something in there. We're going to need to...
had a little too much coffee to drink earlier today, and, you know, was excited to get on to the next patient, and I kind of moved too fast.
Yeah, so they work like 40-hour shifts too, don't they?
Yeah. So it's kind of rough. At the end of like 20 hours, I'd be like, I'm going to keep failing until I get off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would just continuously make mistakes.
It's all downhill from here.
That's kind of the scary thing about the doctoring, though. Like, you go to school for that. You invest all that, you know, into your education and training and stuff. But you're not going to really know if you're a good surgeon until you, like, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what if you do all that, spend 10 years of your life becoming a surgeon, and then you finally become a surgeon, and you're like, wow, I'm really bad at this, you know?
Like, I don't know what you do.
What do you
stay in school, maybe transition to a different kind of doctor?
Yeah,
maybe. You feel really sad. You
feel really bad about yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to transition into some Reddit questions?
I'm ready for some Reddit questions.
Oh, there was one thing I wanted to discuss.
Okay.
This can be a new segment of the show, but it doesn't really have to be. I need to air some grievance I had earlier today and the day before. Have you ever, like, you work in, like, IT-related field. So have you ever, like, watched a YouTube video to try to figure out how to do something?
Never.
Never? Really? You're being sarcastic, right?
I stopped doing that a long time ago.
But you have, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a lot of problems with this, because I did this, I was trying to figure out a solution to something, and I watched like 20 videos in a row, and none of them solved it. But these videos are the worst invention I think mankind has ever created, because they're not actually how-tos, they're advertisements for whoever's channel you're watching.
Yes, you know what I mean? Kidding.
It's like, never like how to do it. It's like, hey, like and subscribe my thing, blah, 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 you know?
Welcome to this episode of the How-To Show with Danny Dringo.
Like,
I'm Danny.
I'm Danny Dringo, and this is
it's
How-To.
It's like a five-minute intro, and you get like...
And this is how to screw in a light bulb. Before we get to screwing in a light bulb, I want to talk about how my Indiegogo campaign for, like... reversible light bulb covers. You can subscribe to my channel, and if you use the promo code Danny Dringo, you'll get 20% off your first purchase. And then they like talk for 20 more minutes, and then at the end of the thing they finally do it, but by that time you're like, you've moved on to another different YouTube video to try to understand how to do it.
Or you've just, if I do search how to on the internet a whole lot, but I'll never click on a video, because I just know it's not going to...
It's so long.
Even if it could help me, it's not worth the time investment of watching.
It's incredibly long, and I don't understand how you can make things so long, especially when it's, like, a simple thing. Like, a good example for, like, an IT or, like, computer thing, it's like, what's the Unix command to do blah, you know what I mean? And that's just, like... It should be Googleable for sure, but like if there's a video, it'd be like 30-minute video.
All right, guys, today I'm going to teach you how to do this command. Let me just boot up my computer real quick. Wait 2 minutes.
I haven't done that yet.
Boot up the terminal real quick. Wait 2 minutes. Okay, let me log in as a super user.
Well, this is, you're going to have to do this, so that's why I'm taking through all the steps. I need to put on my Unix system administrator soundtrack that I always have in the background whenever I do things like this. So give me 1 second while I walk over to my stereo system. Oh, my stereo is not plugged in. I need to plug that in first. Hold on. You know, it's like 20 minutes of buildup, and then eventually nothing happens. Yeah. Like, I find myself basically scrubbing through this video to, like, try to find where the solution is. But I never see, like, I can never find it no matter what I do, because the video is always like 10 times longer than it is. So like finding the point in the video where they actually give the solution is like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, you know? Never watch videos if you want to learn how to do something. If these people really wanted to help people, if that was like their their main goal. They would just write a bulleted list and put it on Stack Exchange.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly.
I think but their goal is not to help people.
I think that's my biggest problem with this. Call me old fashioned, but if I want to know how to do something, give me a bulleted list or a step by step. Step one, step two. You know, give me that so I can just go through the steps. Don't give me a video of you yammering away about something for 20 minutes and then eventually telling me the solution. That does not help me at all. You know, if you have to make a video, annotate it or something so that I can skip ahead to the parts that I want to see. You know what I mean?
Speaking of annotations, though, that is a plague on YouTube. All of the click here for the next video. Click here. Oh, I made a mistake here. Click.
Sorry, it was supposed to be 0.0013 and not 0.0012.
Click here if you want to learn how to screw in an energy efficient light bulb. It's literally all the same steps, but it's another 20 minutes of just the exact same procedure.
Now, if your wattage is a little different, you're gonna do a little different thing. But I made another video for that that's also 30 minutes long, and you're like, oh my god, please kill me now. I just hate those. I hate YouTube how-to videos. They're evil, and I feel like the generation underneath us. They're they live off those. That's how they learn. That's how they learn things, which is a horrible way to learn things.
Yeah,
that's the most inefficient way to learn things. You know.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I learn by give me the relevant information, and then I'll figure everything else out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how you learn.
Bang at it until it works.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how you learn, though. That's how you get the information and you utilize that to solve your problem. You don't learn by listening to a man talk for an hour about how to do something and then eventually get to it. You're just wasting your time. You're wasting a lot of your time doing that. I don't know. I fear for that teaching technology.
Yeah, I fear for the younger generation who relies on YouTube videos to learn how to do things.
Just give me the bulleted list. That's all I want. You want to get into some questions now?
Yes, I'm ready.
I have a lot today. I found a lot. It's more than 10.
Okay, let's try to hit them all.
All right, speed round. We should have a lightning round sound effect. You're the sound effect guy, so.
Lightning round.
Ooh, that was good. I like that. Thanks. See, I kind of spoke in the middle of it. Otherwise, I would totally cut that out and use it in future.
It's okay. I can do it again.
All right. You'll do it after the episode. All right. First question. So the original question is, what are some of the best things you can buy secondhand? But that's not that interesting. So I want to change it to, what are the worst things you can buy secondhand? And don't say underwear, because that's obvious.
No, that's gross. But in the same vein, mattresses.
Secondhand mattress, yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because it would have someone else's contour, baked into it kind of thing. You know?
I was semi-recently, within the past 6 months, I purchased a new mattress. And when you purchase a new mattress, it's sort of tempting to do something like buy off Craigslist or something, but you shouldn't do that because people sweat a lot.
You can buy a mattress off Craigslist?
Yeah, or at the flea market or just... Ugh.
See, I wouldn't buy a mattress at the flea market because it's called the flea market. So, out of principle. But anyway, people sweat and stuff.
Yeah, people sweat. By 6 months in, you have there's more life in your bed than there is in our solar system, outside of Earth. There's living creatures in your bed.
That's a Carl Sagan quote if I've ever heard one right there. There is more life in your bed than in the entire solar
than in the
system.
Than in Europa.
Than in the oceans of Europa. So your bed is 50% you juice at that point, right? You know.
Yes.
That's gross. Yeah. So mattress, definitely a good call. I'm trying to think of what else, like utensils maybe. I don't know. I mean, you can wash those, but
can wash those pretty good.
I don't know where those have been though. You know.
It's fine. You just boil, put them in a hot dishwasher. It'll take care of it.
You can put your bed in a boil your bed.
Yeah, then it'll be really full of juice.
Bald bed.
Like, yeah, that would kill all of the germs, but then you have a wet bed.
It would dry, right?
What do you Would it? It would take like 6 months.
I've never boiled a bed before. I'm not really sure if it would dry. Would it take a long time? It probably would. It would probably wouldn't actually dry. It would probably just make your room really moldy, you know?
Yeah.
Because it would like evaporate. Because there's so many places water can hide in a bed. Probably just evaporate off and make your whole room like moldy and gross.
Yeah.
Boiled beds. That sounds like a really good like get rich quick like used car salesman kind of
company. We boil our beds.
it's like I don't know. I need a good Jean's Boiled Bed Company or whatever. And he sells like used mattresses, which most of the time people are like, ew, I don't want to use mattress, but he's like, we got our boiled guarantee.
They're like pasteurized like eggs.
Yeah. They boil and pasteurize it. They have like a big vat in the back that's just boiling water. They just dip it in there.
Come tour our boiling facility
to see our boiler room. They've got like a guy with like one of those like wine like paddle things. You know what I'm talking about? Like
yeah,
when
they
mix like the grapes in the wine vat. They do that with the beds. He like pushes it down.
Needs a couple more minutes. And then he dips his fingers in the water and he like tastes it and he's like, just right.
It's like the perfecto.
Gene knows when they're done.
Gene's the master bed boiler. It's like, I've been in this industry for 22 years.
He needs to wear a chef's hat.
Gene's, come on down to Gene's Boiled Beds. No, it'd be like Gene's half-priced boiled beds.
We'll boil them in front of you.
And then he's like, if you have an old bed that you don't like the smell of anymore, take it on down here and we'll boil it for you. Like, they can do that too. Like, if you have a bed that's a little dirty.
Yeah. They offer services too, not just beds.
Yeah. Like, they'll boil your bed to clean it up.
They accept bed trade-ins.
Oh, that's good. Like, if you have a used one.
Yeah, if you have a used bed, they'll give you a boiled bed and boil yours and resell it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of like when you trade your car in or whatever, they have like certified pre-owned or whatever. Like that's like the boiled bed. It's like certified boiled or whatever. Germ-free. Bug-free or whatever. Jeans, half-price boiled beds. That's a good business idea. I think someone could get on that. I feel like... Yeah, I know how you mean, like, he would wear a chef hat, but I'm imagining him wearing, like, a brown, like, blazer, like, used car man. And he has, like, black hair with, like, a comb over or something, you know. I don't know. I just imagine very used car salesman-y looking.
A few gold teeth.
Yeah. He rides around in, like, a 1970s, like...
Mustang.
Station wagon or
something. Yeah.
Like, wood trim or something like that. Or a Mustang. Maybe he has that, too. I don't know. Sorry. I just have a picture in my head of Gene. Gene's boiled beds. You want to do another one?
Yes.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So, this is a question directed at teachers, and I'm not a teacher, and you're not either. But I thought it would be interesting to ask, what is the worst attempt at cheating on a test you've ever witnessed? If you've witnessed anyone cheating on a test, or on anything, really, in life, in general.
I haven't noticed any cheating on tests.
Have you noticed any cheating in life? Like, you know, someone's obviously lying and, like, they're doing a really bad job hiding it or whatever, you know? Something like that.
I knew someone that, like, started a fake business so he wouldn't have to pay taxes or something like that.
Yeah! How'd that work out for
him? I think it worked.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but apparently you just, like, start a business and you... like report your income in some way that you don't have to pay taxes. I don't know. I don't know I'm not really keen on the whole
dodging thing. It was you, actually.
Or it was me, and I'm just playing now.
I'm just kidding. I saw someone in school, like, write something on their hand, and, like,
you know. Classic.
But, like, usually you need to, like, have that. I mean, I've never done it, but, like, you know, I've never done anything like that. But, like, you need to, like, have it under the desk, you know, like, in your lap.
He just had his hand out.
Like. This guy was like, it was out on the table, like he was cupping it, like so it was obviously reading off of it. It's just like, have some class, you know, if you're gonna cheat. Like, do it decently, you know? If you're gonna be a bad person, at least be good at being a bad person.
Yeah. I've heard stories about the whole, like, print your own Coke label, except, like, change the nutrition information to the answers. So you can have, like, a bottle of Coke on your desk with a fake label.
I think someone at one of the schools I went to did that at some point. But yeah. I didn't witness it. It was just, like, a rumor. Like, oh, Bobby cheated.
Oh, did you know you could do this?
Yeah. Did you know Bobby cheated with the Coke label and then he was kicked out or something?
Yeah. Like, no, we had that story at my school, too.
I think every school has the Bobby probably, with the Coke label
No one
story.
Has probably ever done that. That's
just like a rumor or something.
That's like the classic senior prank where you have pig 1, pig 2, and pig 4, and you release them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, where's like, pig 3? Oh, like, yeah, no one's ever done that, but everyone has heard.
Everyone has talked about it. So the Coke level thing is like, no one actually is. This is like a legend. Like, Bobby did the blah. And they're like, who's Bobby? He's like, oh, he's a bad seed. You probably didn't meet him because he skipped class all the time. Like, nobody knows who he is. But I knew him. We always hung out at the mall or something.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So that segues into a good question. Where the hell did that question? Oh, so what was your reputation in high school?
I don't think I had one. People didn't really like pay attention to me.
Well, if you had to assume what it would be, what would it be? Like if people noticed you,
there's that quiet kid.
That's not. You're right. That's not much of a reputation.
Yeah. It's like there's that kid that doesn't talk,
doesn't say anything. Maybe he's a mute. He never says anything. Yeah, same with me. I was just curious. Like, you know, there are people that have reputations in high school.
Yeah, there are people that you know, their reputation is very important to them, but that's
yeah.
It's never really been me.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. Like, we didn't go to the same high school, so I thought I'd ask you. You weren't Bobby. You didn't employ the cheating off the Coke bottle methodology.
No, but I did hear stories about Bobby, though.
I mean, everyone has.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Yeah, I didn't really have a reputation either.
I hung out with the band kids a lot, even though I wasn't in band.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I kind of did, too.
Because, like, band people are, like, nerdy. They kind of did the kind of same things as me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I kind of did, too, accidentally, though. It wasn't, like, an intentional thing.
No, I wasn't. I didn't, like, barge into band club one day and be like, hey, guys, are all my...
Hey, guys, I don't play anything, but let's hang out. And then while, like, making, like, finger guns, like, what's up, everybody?
I was friends with the kids that played like the worst instruments that like clearly they're never going to pursue this after high school, but like the tuba.
Oh, the tuba, yeah. Or like the guy that plays the drums and it's just like one drum.
It's the cymbals, just, like, yeah.
Yeah, the cymbals. Like
that was my friend.
And all you have to know to play the cymbals is like you have to be able to count to 4 essentially. That's like that's it. You know what I mean? Can you count to 4?
Yeah. You know, in retrospect, that kid was really smart. He probably got an A in that class, and all he ever had to do was count to 4.
That's actually wise. Maybe he's smarter than you're giving him credit for.
No, he was a really smart guy. I just, at the time, I was like, wow, that's really lame. You play the cymbals.
So maybe he did it on purpose, because it's an easy, you know.
Yeah, I mean, band like, is, like, people think that's a smart class, right? Like, band is supposed to be hard. Yeah,
I think so. Like, when you have your, like, recital at the end of the year, I don't know, I was never in it, but they're like, all right, show me what you've learned this semester on the saxophone, and someone's like, burr, 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 and they're like, that was good, but your form was a little bad, B+, and then they're like, all right, Joe, show me what you learned, and he's on the cymbals, and he's like, and they're like, well done, Joe, solid rhythm.
You hit them all.
You're 4 for 4, you got all of them. 100% A plus. He hit them all.
Or he, like, he missed one out of four and he still got a B. Like,
that's still 75%. Yeah. Like, that's because the grades probably grades on a little bit of a curve. So it's like 75 is really like an 88 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, Joe, 3 out of 4, you did good. Like, work on it a little next week, but we'll talk about it later. But solid effort. Solid effort. Meanwhile, someone on, like, the tuba or something is, like, struggling, and they get, like, a 50%. And they're like, no, you hit, like, none of those notes. And he's been practicing nonstop, and Joe's just over there whacking away at the cymbal.
Yeah. He never actually practiced cymbals once the entire year.
Why would you need to practice cymbals? Like, what are you practicing there? Like, really?
I don't know. I don't want to, like, alienate any cymbal players. Maybe there's, like,
super our huge swath of audience who played the cymbals in high school band. Maybe there's, like, some super intricacies that we're not taking into account, like, maybe with cymbal playing. Like, because there's some professions and, like hobbies and things that, like, they look really simple on the surface. But, like, if you dig a little deeper, you're like, oh, wow, that's actually pretty, you know, complicated.
I don't know. I have a feeling cymbals isn't one of those things, though. Well, like, it's just my gut.
Like, percussion instruments is a good example in general, because, like, it looks a lot easier than it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, you have to be able to count with the rhythm and, like, follow the, like, you have to be, like, the base of the baseline of the music, so, like, you know.
The cymbals, you're not even really the base of the music, though.
No, you're just like a flourish.
Yeah,
or like kind of chill.
The tambourines too. Like,
yeah. I don't think but like, yeah, other percussion instruments, I could be like, okay, that doesn't look simple, but there's probably some nuance that I'm missing. But yeah, cymbals, I don't know if I can. I can see. Isn't there like multiple ways to hit them though? Like I've seen the standard like straightforward hit, and then they have like the upwards strike. You know what I mean? Have
maybe like the rim hits, like the rims.
The rim one, you know, so maybe there's like multiple styles, you know?
You can learn that in an hour, though.
you can make some stylistic choices in your music. Like, okay, I'm going to do 2 upwards, 1 standard, and then a rim.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll sound real good. And they have like that knowledge in their head after years and years of cymbal playing mastery or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
4 for 4, Joe. Good job.
A plus effort.
Okay. What's something that people do in movies all the time that seems super easy and also common, but is actually a really hard thing to do in real life?
Firing any weapon.
Yeah, that's a good example. They make it very easy looking in movies. Yeah.
More actually, and like further hitting something with a gun, like actually being accurate.
Oh yeah. It's always like someone like never shot anything before, and then they like shoot it, and they're like perfect shot already. And like, wow,
they hip fire across a parking lot and perfectly just hit someone.
Yeah, and they're like, whoa, I never shot a gun before, but whoa, good job, me. You know.
Yeah.
A lot of like action movies where the protagonist isn't like a cop do that.
Yeah.
Like, if the protagonist is, like, just some guy that, like, was thrown into a bad situation, and he or she eventually gets a firearm, they could automatically just use it. Like,
yeah.
Well, like, I don't get it. You know what I mean? Sometimes they'll try to justify it. Like, oh, he used to be in the military. Like, that's fine. But other times they don't justify it at all, and somehow, like, a person can just great shot, you know, with guns. Like, I don't get it. That's weird. I don't know. Guns in movies are portrayed really, really fantastically, though. Like, it doesn't really work like that. Like, you don't have to reload or anything.
I really like how guns are portrayed in movies.
Like, no, it doesn't work like that. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, it doesn't actually work like that.
A guy shoots, like 300 bullets in one movie, never reloads once. Like.
Yeah, or you never see him reload. A lot of times when they, like, or, like, they're, okay, so here's the weird thing about reloading. Either they never reload or they reload way too much.
Yeah.
So like, they'll, like, shoot a bunch of bullets and never load. But when they have a shotgun, they'll cock the shotgun, like, 8 times before they shoot it once. It's like, what are you doing? Why are you cocking your shotgun so much? You don't need to do that.
Or yeah, they're sitting around a table. The big raid isn't even happening for like 48 hours.
They're like,
they just get up from the table.
They're like, what are you doing?
I'm ready to go.
Why are you loading your shotgun now? Like, what? Oh, it doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's so bad. And then where do they get all that ammo? They always have ammo on them somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't see a lot of movies where there's ammo problems.
No, they always have ammo. And they're like, oh, yeah, got ammo. And, like, most of the time, you don't actually even see them reload. You just, like, see them, like, you hear them reload. Or you see them, like, reaching for something, and then you don't see them actually reload. You know, like, it's a clever cut to, like, distract you that they have infinite ammo somewhere on their person. You know what I mean? Like, okay, whatever. You know, the movie does that pretty well, though. The John Wick movies do a pretty good job with that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, before he kills people, he, like, straps the ammo on, and then at some point in a battle, he'll, like, run out of ammo. And he'll be like, yep, I don't have enough ammo. You know what I mean? Not to say it's realistic to, like, kill that many people, but, like, the way they handle weapons is a lot more, I feel like, realistic, at least. You know?
I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about firearms, but it seemed good, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, I think the way they handle the, like, physics of the guns is, like, a lot more realistic. I'm just saying, obviously, it's not realistic for one person to be able to kill, like, 500 people. That was what I'm saying. Not realistic. But the way they handle the weapons seemed pretty good, you know?
Yeah, the way they handled the weapons was good. I really like that about John Wick, though. Like, it's not a story about a human. He's a superhero, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Yeah, he's basically, like, a legendary... He's like Thor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he's like more of a mythological legend.
He's basically like a modern, like, Western gunfighter, you know, of legend or whatever. Like, he's just really good. No one can kill him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like a modern, like, assassin that, like, you know, no one can, you know what I mean? No one can kill or whatever.
Yeah, that's some of my favorite parts about that movie. Just like, they're... Yeah, it's sort of unrealistic, but I like that he's more of, like, a mythological...
Yeah.
Pretty much no one in the show knows that he's real, too.
That's true.
Not the show, the movie. Like, some people are like, John Wick? John Wick, is that real? Or is it the boogeyman?
Or, like, they're like, okay, maybe he's real, but he's not actually as good as people say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They think it's like...
Those are just legends.
It's a legend, but it's, like, not. But I was just saying... I wasn't saying that, like, I think they handled that... Not realistically. I was just saying, like, that part that he's, like, superhuman almost is, like, not realistic. The way they handle firearm scenes, more realistic than a lot of other movies is what I was
saying.
Yeah,
for sure.
Just because, like, the way they show, like, him actually preparing for things and, like, having to account for ammo and, like, weapons and stuff, like, and he can't carry all the weapons and all the time, so he has to, like, hide them somewhere. And,
you know, yeah, in strategic locations.
Yeah, so, like, you know, sometimes he, like, can't get to his ammo in time or whatever. Like, you know, it's just, like, real problems you'd have if you were a person carrying all that heavy machinery around, essentially. So, guns. The other thing I was going to say is, like, hacking any computer stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, everyone can hack in movies, I feel like.
And hacking is like, shown to be this, like, really fun, exciting activity. It's like you go inside the computer and, oh, you're hacking into the system and there's visuals and all this
there's crazy, like, pipes. Like a graphic user interface or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and it's just like, that was easy, got it. And I'm like, whoops, bing, I'm in. They always say that at the end.
I really, I wouldn't have that any other way, though. Like, I really like hacking depicted that
fake
way.
Hacking.
Like, have you seen Hackers, right?
Yeah.
Classic movie. Like, that is how hacking should be.
In real life.
In every movie.
In movies. It's just so funny.
Hacking in real life is the most boring.
And it's hard.
Yeah.
And it's tedious, too. It's a lot of, like, hitting
your
head.
It's not like there's one guy who's, like, an expert hacker who can just hack into any system. It's more like there's just this one guy who has spent half of his life trying to figure out how to get this one model of television. Like, that's the reality of hacking.
Yeah. Or, like, how I hack into this one specific system that no other system is, like, similar, so it would be useless skill otherwise.
Like, some guy has spent 20 years analyzing one process in Windows XP.
Right.
And that's his magnum opus.
And figuring out how to, like, use it nefariously, the other thing with hacking in movies that's weird is, like if anyone, like, the smart character can do it no matter what. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what profession they're in. You know what I mean? Like, they could be, like, a marine biologist. Like, if they're the smart character, quote-unquote, in the movie, they can be like, how do we get in? And they're like, I can hack it. And they're like, what? How do you know? It's like, oh, I'm really smart. And then they just do it.
Yeah, Star Trek is especially guilty of this trope.
Like, everyone can hack. Like, literally everyone that's, like, the smart character can hack. Like, I work with computers for a living, and I can't hack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have an okay understanding of hacking, but...
But, like, if you were on, if you were on, like, a heist mission or something,
yeah,
and they're like, we can't get into the security system, we need someone to hack into it, but we don't know if anyone can do it, would you be like, I can do it, I can hack into it?
I mean, in this situation, yes, because I wouldn't be the brute force of the heist mission. My only purpose would be...
Right, but, like, let's say you're, like, the explosives expert or something, but you're also I don't know. I'm just saying, like, they didn't hire you for the hacking, but, like...
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. It comes across, and then they're like, can anyone hack? And you're like, yeah, or whatever.
Let me just hack into the system. Yeah.
But it's weird, you know, everyone that's smart can do it. It's weird. I was watching some movie or something recently, and I don't remember what, but, yeah, it might have been, like, Star Trek or something, but, like... You know, the smart character, they're like a physicist or something. You know what I mean?
He can hack.
Yeah, so he's like an astronomer or something. And then he's like, oh, we need to hack in. He's like, oh, I can do it. I'm a hacker. It's like, what? You're a hacker, physicist, mathematician? Like, what can't you do? Like, that doesn't...
It's like, astronomy is like sort of math, and that's sort of code, and that's sort of hacking.
What? How much free time do you have that you can learn all this stuff? Like, you know? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Anyway. That's a big annoying part of movies.
Yeah. Hackers is an amazing movie.
I do agree. The goofy way they portray it is kind of fun. Okay, next question. This is a weird one. You don't have to answer if you don't want to. What is the most dangerous thing you've ever done in a car?
I'm not going to answer this.
Okay, second most dangerous. I can just move on to a different question.
No. Let me think of something dangerous I've done that like won't get me in trouble if I say it. I've gone fast in a car. I've gone over 100 miles an hour in a car.
Really? You have?
Yeah.
In your own car?
Yeah. Not in my current car. This was back like almost 10 years ago.
Were you trying to get somewhere?
No, I was just trying to go fast.
Oh. You just gotta go fast.
I was just seeing if I could do it.
What kind of car were you in, if you don't mind me?
It was an Acura Integra.
Oh, yeah. Speed demon there. Those can get up fast-ish, I guess, right?
Yeah, they definitely can.
I mean, they're not really that kind of known for their speed, though, but...
It had VTEC.
I don't even know what that is.
VTEC is like this marketing thing Acura used to do where it's like you can make the engine rev fast. Pretty much.
Faster.
You know the turbo button on old Pentium computers?
Yeah.
That's VTEC.
So it like makes you feel better after you hit it. You're like, activated VTEC.
Activated the VTEC.
Does it go like, brrr? Does it go fast? Does it like... make louder noise or
whatever? I would say yes, but that's probably just because... I mean, back when you're using a Pentium and you hit the turbo button, you really feel that boost when you imagine that boost.
You're like, yeah, I feel it. I can feel it.
That's the VTEC.
It's like nothing's happening. It's just like a placebo button. It's just like, oh, I can feel it. I can feel it happening. And it's nothing's happening.
I've driven the wrong way on roads on accident before, not on purpose.
Yeah, I've done that too. I don't like to admit it, but it happens.
Yeah,
I mean, especially when you've never been there and it's dark, sometimes it's hard to like tell.
Yeah, I've done it. You know how if you're turning, you know, you're under a bridge and you're turning left and the bridge is like, and you need to choose either this place or this place to go into. Sometimes,
and you don't know which.
You choose the wrong place.
And you choose the wrong one. Yeah, no, I've done that. I've done the exact same thing. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're entering from the left side both, then it's really hard to tell. Like, if they have a split one, like, you enter on the right you know, to go this way and on the left to go this way, that's fine. But, like, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. Especially when it's, like, dark and the signs are crappy.
Yeah, and downtown, there are like, one-way roads, and there are, like, off-ramps that are one-way. Sometimes you can just turn onto that one-way road.
And you're like, whoops. And then you, like, back up, and you're like, don't mind me, it's really dumb. No, but I feel really dumb doing that. But, yeah, I've done that. It is what it is. I don't know. I don't think anyone has not done something like that. Everyone thinks that road signs are super clear, but they're not. They're, like, sometimes they're very clear, but sometimes, like, I don't know what they call them, like, traffic engineers. I feel like sometimes they're just having a bad day, and they're just like, I'm going to ruin this project. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When they're done, they, like, hit it and put a big dent in it.
Yeah, they're like, this is dumb. I'm glad I'm done with that intersection. I hope I never drive on that thing. And you're like, great, thank you. Thank you very much. Here, there's, like, this new stupid freaking light system. So it's like, you know, like, red is stop, yellow is, you know, slow down, and green is go. Everybody knows that. Yeah. And then you have the arrow system, right? Red arrow is stop. It's basically the same thing with the direction you're turning. Well, here, some people were, like, driving through yellow arrows too much or something like that. So they decided to make some system where, like, if something's flashing, it means yield now instead of... I don't really remember how it goes. But basically...
What color does it flash?
I think it flashes red or yellow.
That's not a convention you should mess with.
Like. I know, it's really confusing. It doesn't make any sense. Like, it's real bad.
That sounds like not a good idea at all.
I know, because yellow usually means, like... it means slow down, to which to a lot of people it means I need to speed the hell up and get through this before the light changes. Yeah. So if something flashed yellow, I could see some people be like, I need to go now. But if it's a yield, like, that's really dangerous.
Yeah, so around here, we do have flashing yellow and flashing red lights, but they mean something totally different.
Yeah, flashing yellow arrows. That's the confusing bit.
Flashing yellow arrows? Yeah, that's not good. You don't... What if someone, like, looks up, doesn't see anything, and then looks down and they missed it while it was flashing?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's bad.
Terrible.
But yeah, we have flashing yellow and red too, like just the solid lights. But yeah, the arrows are just extra confusing. Yeah.
I have a recurring nightmare that the light will turn blue and I won't know what to do, and I get, like, horrible anxiety.
Do you really have that nightmare?
Yeah, no, I do. I've had this dream for years.
The light will turn blue.
And I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know what to do. And I, like, everybody's really mad at me. And
everyone knows what to do but you. Yeah. Like, they're like, it's just a blue light, come on!
Get out of the way, asshole. It's just a blue light.
Just follow the blue light, you idiot. Yeah. God. Dude, does, like, part of you in the dream, like, think, like, oh, did I forget to learn this in, like, traffic school or something?
No, it's just, like terror and embarrassment and, like, all kinds of negative emotions.
But does your dream self, like think that they should know it? Or are they just like, oh, this is a new thing or whatever?
It seems like... Everybody else thinks it's normal, but I think it's like...
So you're in some weird parallel universe where blue lights exist, and you're just like, what is this? Where does it happen? Like, is it underneath the yellow? Like, where would they be the position?
There are usually bridges nearby somehow. I don't know if it's like...
Oh, it's like a water thing.
This might be dream association. It might be like water and blue or something. I don't know.
Blue light means drive into the ocean.
I don't know. There's a lot of water around here and bridges.
Blue light means the drive into the ocean. That's that light.
Or I've never figured out what blue light means.
Blue light is like fish crossing or something. Or like the bridge is up. Or I don't know. What could blue light mean? Oh, you know, like in Florida, you know how you have to... Sometimes the bridges go up and down?
Yeah.
Like when the bridges are going up, like blue light means if you really want to, you could gun it and like ramp over the bridge. That's the blue light.
It's interesting, though, because I've never figured out what the blue light means, if anything. It just means that I'm doing everything wrong.
Well, okay, what are people in your dream doing?
Yelling at me and honking.
Are they driving or are they stopped?
It's everybody is traffic is like going normally except for me. Like, it's almost like the blue light comes on and I just start fucking up.
So, like, it seems like you're driving normally, but something is not happening that you're doing that everyone else starts to do. Yes. So maybe the blue light isn't as much as a driving thing. Maybe it's, like, something you need to do in your car while you're driving.
Yeah. You gotta hit the blue button that makes your car do the...
Do the thing.
The thing. And my car doesn't have it.
And everyone's doing it. It's like, what is this? Look at this asshole. He's not using his blue button.
Yeah, it's blue light is actually Silent Hill. Blue light comes on and it turns into Silent Hill.
And just like everything goes to shit.
Yes.
Maybe it's like turn your brights on or something.
Maybe.
Right? Hmm. You'll never have this dream ever again since you just
talked about it. I hope not. It's not a good dream.
Have you ever talked to anyone about this dream?
No, I've never mentioned it.
Well, now everyone on the internet knows about your weird blue light dream. I love that everyone knows what to do but you still don't understand what to do via context.
I've had this dream for years. I still don't know what the blue light means.
But, like, you've had it so many times, and everyone knows, but you can't figure out what it is by looking at everyone else because exactly. They seem to be normal. It's like a secret thing that you're doing wrong that you have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Maybe it's, like, put on a hat or something benign like that.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
I feel like your brain is going to invent the blue light scenario. Like, what happens now?
I'll let you know if I come up
Please
with a solution.
We need a blue light special episode. I don't have any weird blue light dreams, but if I did, I would definitely share them. I forget a lot of my dreams, too, like, immediately after.
Yeah, same.
Okay, next question. You have $10,000. Oh, maybe it's $10 million. $10 million. It doesn't matter. You have a lot of money. But you can only buy things that start with the first letter of your name. What do you buy? You can use your real name or your, you know.
I'll go with B. Good call.
Your internet name.
Yeah. I'll buy a
barbecue.
A barbecue.
Barbecue.
Lots of beer.
This is a bad question. I'm going to move on to something
okay.
else. Beer, banquet, and barbecue.
It's all food items.
You're going to have a barbecue at your house. Yeah. Okay, you buy a banquet hall, you buy beer, and you buy a barbecue, right?
Yeah.
And then you have a barbecue at the banquet hall with all your buddies.
With all my buds. That's perfect. Nice. That sounds great.
Beer, banquet, and buds at the banquet hall.
Eating some barbecue.
Yep. And you eat
Some barbecued...
Barbecued brisket.
And bratwurst.
And bratwurst. I was going to say that, too. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
And beef. Aroni. Yes. And bird.
You got to have lots of different types of bird. You have
You can't say them. Oh, right.
I have turducken.
I just start with a B, though.
I know. There's no birds that start with
your
B.
Blue jays?
No, I don't want to eat those. They're pretty.
Okay. When you touch an object, it starts screaming its name in a high-pitched voice. How does the world change?
Okay, so this is like Nightmare Flintstones.
This is like Nightmare Flintstones, so exactly.
I'm gonna assume they're all alive.
After this one, we'll get into trivia, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, everything's... Well, it doesn't have to be alive, but they're like, they're conscious, you know?
Yeah, they do scream.
They scream, yeah. Maybe like people's souls get trapped in inanimate objects after they die.
Kind of like Shinto,
Yeah, but all they can do is scream. The name of the object.
Oh, that's dark.
It sounds like a really dark like manga or something, doesn't it?
That's really like Japanese religion that they believe that like really? Objects have souls, and if you have a garden hoe, if you've used it for years, you can't throw it away because that's disrespectful to the garden hoe. First, you have to have a ceremony for it. And, like give it closure or something.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So we would all... Oh, this is so, like, dark and weird.
It would be kind of like that, wouldn't it? Like, you would have to... Once you would grow more attached to objects, maybe.
Yeah.
And then when you were finished with using them, you'd have, like, a ceremony for them.
But it would be really annoying to use any object.
Yeah, it would be horrible.
Imagine typing on a computer keyboard. Oh, gosh. Do you think every letter would scream its name as you type it? A, D, Z, P. Do you think that would happen?
I think it would.
Yes, good. That would be great. Yeah, I think we'd all go crazy if this was actually the world.
Yeah, tool use in general would see a lot of changes.
Yeah, we would stop touching things.
Yeah, we kind of rely on tools as is. So
maybe everyone would start wearing earplugs because they're like, "Oh, I don't want to hear the screams of tormented souls anymore."
I mean, maybe like deaf people would become the dominant people.
Ooh, that's interesting. Like an evolutionary thing. Yeah. Because they don't hear the screams of the tormented souls.
Okay, all right. I just envisioned like a super dark universe right, about this. Okay.
Give me it.
So the majority of people are deaf, mm-hmm. and they... That's been...
Oh,
the,
dude, the, I know you, where you're know going, where I'm going. I like it.
That's Go been ahead, the majority though. For so long that they don't know other some people can hear.
Oh, shit. This is like the Sixth Sense kind of...
Oh, it's so much worse, though. It's more like mental illness.
So, like, basically, everything screams when it's touched.
Yes.
But most people can't hear it.
Some people can, though.
Because they're, oh, man. They would and, be like... Oh.
You know, they speak in sign language and all that. And you know what? They uh-huh. they can hear other... Maybe these people can still, like, make sounds with their mouths and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they can make but, sounds yeah, with they their
can't.
Mouth.
But they yeah. can't hear it, obviously.
Yeah.
But they're like, blah, 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 or whatever. And the people that can hear actually can hear all the things.
Yeah.
And the world is just a bunch of terrible sounds. Like, that's all the whole world.
That would oh, suck.
This is horrible. This sounds like a portrait of, like, mental illness, yeah.
Yeah.
Like some kind of psychosis or something, you know?
Yeah.
And they can hear all the sounds in the world and nobody else can.
Yeah, and maybe, like, some of those people would be... Some of them would be, like, geniuses, though, right? And they would invent things.
What, the people that can hear? The hearers?
Yeah, because they have a different perspective.
That's
they...
the name of it, by the way. Hearers. Yeah.
Hearers.
I don't know. Yeah, they have a different perspective on the world.
Yeah, so they could maybe... There'd be an occasional brilliant person that seemed really weird because they could actually hear when
yeah.
everybody else can't hear.
Every object has, like, a unique scream.
As oh, well. God.
That's, like, similar to its... It, like, embodies the object it
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So when like they hear... Oh, when they hear the scream, they know what object did it. So they can like, hear people coming and no. stuff.
Oh, no. They can... Oh, this is so weird.
People would like think they're witches. There would be an Inquisition.
Yeah. This is really weird.
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse, doesn't it?
I don't know how like this would work in like a fictional universe though, because like it's so you would have to invent so much stuff for it to like work around.
So I think the story that happens is like obviously these all right, let's just say that these hearers are extremely persecuted. And yeah. the story that this universe, you know, the story that takes place in this universe is that this couple gives birth to this kid uh-huh. and they like sort of realize that the kid can hear. But since they're very, you know, since they're good people, they want to find a home for the kid where the kid won't have to be persecuted. Right. So they track down this secret cult of...
It's like cult of hearers.
Cult of hearers, yeah.
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 That can teach their son or daughter yeah. the ways
then,
of hearing.
Yeah, and then, of course, this son is like becomes, you know, the leader of the revolution for the hearers.
Oh,
and the hearers nice. Fight for equality or something.
Right. With the help of the objects.
That's yes, great. They use... Maybe I don't know how they could use the objects against
them. I don't either, but there's some way they could do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, the reason they can survive those because they know more about their environment than most people. Yeah,
because they have extra senses. And then that's how humans evolved to have ears.
That's the true story.
That's the true story of how humans
ears.
That sounds like
that's like sort of like Planet of the Apes, kind of almost it a is. Little bit, yeah.
Hearers. And like the poster's like all black, but in like the middle there's like a little like
there's audio. A screaming bed.
What? A screaming bed? I don't know. Alright, sure, why not? It's screaming bed. Do you want to get into trivia now?
Okay, I'm ready.
Depressed after hearers.
I have some good happy trivia questions.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's trivia time. I'm going to let you choose between these lifelines.
Remember, you're supposed to do a trivia jingle every time.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Trivia time.
Ding. Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
Okay. You can choose between 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo. You can choose Monty Hall, 50-50. Phone a friend, rhyme time, ask a rando. Did I get them all?
I think so. I'm going to choose 10-second Bing. I'm going the edge this time.
Okay.
And then I'm going to do, I think that's a good middle ground. And then I'm going to do Monty Hall.
Okay.
And I'm going to do phone a friend again, because that worked well last time.
Sounds good. I like how we're not choosing 30-second Yahoo. Like,
it's too easy.
We're going to Bing just because it's worse.
Like, it's more fun that way.
Yeah, I agree. This is also, funny, though.
Also, I should note, according to my scoring, you're up 16 to 12.
So that's not correct.
Something went wrong somewhere.
Let's reset the scores. It's a good milestone. It's episode 25.
Okay, so scores are reset. So we'll just say you won the first 25 episodes.
Sure,
or the first 24 episodes, right? Yeah. So we're back at 0-0 now.
Okay. And you're ready for your first question.
I am so ready. Give it to me.
Okay. It is illegal to walk across these states' borders with a duck on your head.
Okay.
A, Minnesota and North Dakota.
Okay.
B, Minnesota and South Dakota. C, Minnesota and Iowa. Or D, Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, or Wisconsin? Is that
yes,
right?
That's correct.
Oh.
I did not. It like could be any of these.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, or Wisconsin. I'm trying to think what state personifies that law. Duck on your head, is that
it? Yeah, they kind of all do, don't they?
They kind of all do.
I'd believe it for any of those.
Yeah. I would believe it immediately for all those. I kind of want to just take a shot in the dark.
Okay.
I'm going to go with South Dakota.
B, final South answer. Dakota is incorrect.
Oh, damn it.
It is D, Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Wisconsin! Oh, that was my second one.
It is illegal to have a duck on your head if you cross the border.
Damn. All right. Next. That was a really good question.
We have an Earthworm Jim question.
Oh, good.
Great. Earthworm Jim's super suit is filled with A, lead, B, healthy and delicious oat bran, C, dirt, or D, tiny elves.
These all sound reasonable to me. Even the healthy and delicious oat bran part.
So, this was an actual trivia question on their cartoon show from a while back.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is legit, like, trivia question they had. I think I'm going to do 10-second Bing on this one.
Okay.
Because I don't, like, the Monty Hall would be good, but I don't even have a strong opinion, which it's not. Because they all could be. So I'm going to do 10-second Bing. I'm going to type Bing in. I'm not going to hit enter yet. But just to clarify, what is Earthworm Jim's suit filled with, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm ready to go whenever you are.
Okay, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Bing. What is Earthworm Jim's suit filled with? How much time?
4 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
What? It's not even telling me anything. Now, I'm allowed to look at this page, right? Just can't.
You can't scroll, but you can look.
I'm not scrolling. Yeah. Damn it. This humanoid artificer is what gives Earthworm Jim's limbs and effective body superhuman strength. Oh, okay. Healthy oat bran.
Healthy oat bran. Healthy and delicious oat bran is correct.
Yes. It was on the second link on the Earthworm Jim wiki. I did not scroll. Whew, got lucky there. That was close. Like, as I hit enter, I ran out of time. So, anyway.
All right. Your third and final question is about Australia.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, Australia was the blank country to allow women to vote in 1902.
Okay. Like, out of all the countries?
That's, I guess, what the trivia says.
Okay.
A, first. B, second. C, third. D, fourth. Worth noting that this is way ahead of the United States.
Okay. Good to know. Because I think the United States was like 1912 or something like that.
No, it's way worse than that.
Is it 20-something?
I think it's real bad. I'm not going to say what I think it is. But
so 1904 is when they did it, right?
Yeah. 1902 was Australia.
1902. I'm going to say...
Do you want to use a lifeline?
Yeah, I'm going to use Monty Hall.
Okay.
I'm going to lock in one.
Okay.
First.
It is not third or fourth.
So it's first or second?
Yep.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to phone a friend now.
Okay.
Second, I need you. Australia was the first or second country to allow women to vote. Did I get it right?
Yep.
First or second? What do you think? 1902, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
1902. First or second country, what do you think?
I was wrong last time.
Well, that's fine. Okay. Just
first.
You're going with first? Because you think, why would that be a question if it wasn't first kind of thing?
But that could be a trick. This could be a trick.
But first, though.
I don't know. I just feel like there are people of criminals and whatnot.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yep.
They do things.
Oh, they do things differently. So her rationale was they're criminals in Australia and stuff. So they're
ultra progressive.
I guess. They
they do what they want.
They do it Outback style. You know? No rules, just right.
Okay, you're locking in A first as your final answer?
A first, yeah.
That is incorrect.
No! It was second. Get out of here.
You're the one that keeps asking.
Get out of here.
It was the second.
Damn it! All right.
For women to vote, which is still really good.
No, that's still very, very respectable.
Yeah.
I imagine that was the slogan of women, no rules, just right.
That's awesome. Did you just think of that?
Well, that's the Outback Steakhouse slogan.
That's so cool. maybe that's what that reference is.
I doubt it. Anyway, that would be really funny if that's what it referenced. Okay, so that was trivia. So I'm up 2-0 now, I think, right? Because I got two of those, right?
Did you get two?
Yeah, didn't I?
Which, I think you just got one.
No, I got Earthworm Jim oat bran. Oh, you're right, I just did get one. Damn it! I was like, for some reason I thought like Earthworm Jim oat bran counted for more or something.
That is a really you corrected good question. Me. Yeah.
Okay, do you want to do a final one before we wrap up?
Yeah.
Okay, I have three. Tell me which one's good. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to fire them off real quick. Random stranger sneaks into your house not to rob you, but to raid your fridge. What do you do? Go. Which world organization is closest to world or global domination? Go. And what is the biggest, it's time to find a job, new red flag? Which one of those would you like to answer? You have 30 seconds. Stranger in the house sounds most interesting.
Okay, yeah, stranger in the house, I call the police.
But he's just eating like your chicken, like he's not harming anybody. He's sitting on the floor, on the porcelain, in his underwear, eating like old chicken.
I would call the police.
What if he looks really nice?
I would still call
the police. He doesn't look homeless at all.
That's worse.
Maybe a little homeless. He's got like some dried blood on his beard or something. or something. And yeah. He has like a grin on his face. And he looks up with you, his eyes are all bug-eyed and they're really big, and he's like, "Hello, stranger." And he kind of looks like the old guy from Aladdin, like that Jafar dresses up like in the prison.
Okay, yeah, I know who, you know, I know who that is, yeah.
Yeah, it's that guy. That's the guy on the floor. He's eating your leftover chicken. Well, so what do?
I would call the police.
All right, that's been episode 25 of the Time Bat Show. Remember our phrase that we say at the end of the show.
Okay, when the eagles go dark,
it's time for the bats to come out. I said it silently that time. I think they got it, though. I'm Time Aces.
And I'm Bat Snacks.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks.